It's good to have you here today from wherever you are and by however you listen. God Is broadcasts weekdays coast to coast from Massachusetts to California on the radio and all the way around the world on this podcast. That is five times a week on this station. And I invite you to be with me and all the other fine listeners as we continue to discover who God is. Our source for doing this is the Holy Bible, and I'll begin today's reading in Matthew chapter 3 and verse 16 for now. This is the Gospel of Matthew, which opens the New Testament at the end of chapter 3, verse 16. Hear now God's word to your mind and to your heart. After being baptized, Jesus came up immediately from the water, and behold, the heavens were opened, and he saw the Spirit of God descending as a dove and lighting on him. We're nestled into this verse yesterday and today, and we're going to move on from it soon. But yesterday I gave you points 1 and 2 of a 3-point insight into what the Bible means by what the Bible says here. I explained what is meant by Jesus came up immediately from the water, and what is meant by the heavens were opened, and by who saw the Spirit of God descending as a dove and lighting on him. All that is left for me to do now is to explain briefly how the Spirit of God is as a dove and lighting on Jesus. I say all that is left only in terms of time, but what I want to say is important for you to know, so please do not minimize this. And with that, let's explore what Matthew writes, the Spirit of God descending as a dove and lighting on him. The Spirit of God is the Holy Spirit. And as we will see in the days ahead, he is the third person of the Trinity, who here descends from heaven to go with Jesus as our Lord emerges from the waters of baptism and commences his ministry. But a very insightful question to ask is this: why does Jesus require the Holy Spirit to descend on him? Jesus is God in human flesh. Jesus is perfect. You can see why we need the Holy Spirit, who comes to reside within all genuine Christians at the second of our conversion. But why did Jesus have the Spirit? Isn't Jesus powerful enough on his own? Doesn't Jesus contain within himself everything he needs for godliness in this world? Let me answer that question this way. In Christ's divinity, Christ did not need the Spirit. But in Christ's humanity, he needed the Spirit as much as we do. Jesus is truly God and truly man at the exact same time. He is simultaneously divine and human. As God, Jesus never tired, never got weary. But as man, he did tire, and the demands on him made Jesus weary. So the Holy Spirit was given to our Lord to strengthen him. And when you read about the life of Christ, you will immediately see how the Spirit does this again and again. In fact, we'll see this big time when we get into Matthew chapter 4 and Jesus is tempted by the devil to sin. It will be the Holy Spirit who sustains Christ such that Jesus does not give in to any of the temptations that Satan throws his way. He never gives in. And there's a second reason the Spirit descended on Jesus. Here we have it. The Spirit descending confirms to John the Baptist and from him to others that Jesus is God, that Jesus is the true Messiah of the Jewish people. Let's go over to the Gospel of John for a moment and put in a chapter 1. This is fascinating. You may have already made this connection, but many listeners will not. I'm reading now in John 1, verse 33. Listen carefully to what God has told John the Baptist about Jesus. Remember, John the Baptist is really the last of the Old Testament prophets, even though he lived in New Testament times. As a prophet, God the Father communicated to John the Baptist what he wanted his people, God's people, to know. Again, this is the Gospel of John, chapter 1 and verse 33. John the Baptist says, "I did not recognize him, but he who sent me to baptize in water said to me, 'He upon whom you see the Spirit descending and remaining upon him, this is the one who baptizes in the Holy Spirit.'" The fact that Jesus receives the Holy Spirit as John the Baptist looks on at the Jordan River, and the fact that Jesus baptizes in the Holy Spirit, makes it clear that Jesus Christ is the one who God has sent as the only Messiah of the Jewish people. This is why our Lord requires the Holy Spirit and receives the Holy Spirit at his baptism. I hope that you have benefited from learning this if you did not know it already. Now, to the question of whether or not the spirit came as a literal dove bird or not, we cannot say for sure. But here's what we can say with certainty. The Holy Spirit took on a physical form of a dove as he descended. So the Spirit is physical, visible, bodily. The Spirit had shape. Luke puts it this way in his Gospel, chapter 3 and verse 22, "And the Holy Spirit descended upon Jesus in bodily form like a dove." Luke 3:22. And lastly, lighting means this, coming upon him. I wanted to point out the meaning of this word here because I've heard preachers of all people either mispronounce this as lightening, like bolts in the sky during a summer storm, or not explain to the people to whom they were preaching what the word used here, lighting, actually means. And that reflects lazy preaching. The Spirit alighted, another way to use this word. The Spirit came upon Jesus. Again, I hope this is helpful for you, and if not for you, then this will have helped someone else tuning in. Okay, we are now ready to move into Matthew 3 and verse 17, but thank you for being attentive to verse 16. You know, when you follow the Lord through the Gospels as we are doing, and when you ask the question we are asking, what does Jesus teach us about God, you need to invest concentrated time thinking about the Scriptures. I find within myself, the more I read the Bible, the more I want to know what it means. And the more I want to know what it means, the more reading, research, and study I want to do. And then it gets to the point where that is all I want to do. I have that tug of war within myself between some task that needs doing and spending more time in yet another resource. But yes, when my wife calls out to me and says, it's almost time to leave, or remember you need to fill in the blank, yes, I walk away from my desk. However, the great thing about the way God created our minds is that we can keep meditating, pondering on all that he has to say to us. And so with a good attitude now, not using the Bible as an excuse to be short-tempered with my beloved, I run the errand or attend the event, whatever it is, while I mull over what I've read in the Word of God. Do you also have this experience? You say, well, no, I'm not the guy with the radio ministry, or I'm not the pastor. Ah, but since when does the Bible differentiate between us in this way? God commands all of his people to read the Bible, to understand the Bible, to obey the Bible in practice, as well as to share what we are learning with others. So I hope that as you follow Jesus with me here in Matthew, you too will have this experience. And I will pray this for you. And now let's pivot to Matthew 3, and this time verse 17. I'll begin by reading this verse to you, Matthew 3:17. "And behold, a voice out of the heaven said, 'This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased.'" Yes, you heard me correctly. According to the true testimony of Matthew, when Jesus came out of the waters of baptism and the Spirit of God descended upon him, then a voice out of the heavens spoke. And that voice, amazingly, was the voice of God the Father. Remember, the heavens were already opened. Verse 16. And now, there is the voice of God. And my main insight has been this. In this text, Jesus teaches us that God gives us Jesus because God wants to identify himself with us. How is this true of this verse? Ah, I'm going to get to that tomorrow. So please be here for that. You do not want to miss it. But with the time we have remaining now, let me ask this. Did you know that when God says this, he is actually quoting himself? Oh yes, this sentence, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased," is rooted in our Old Testaments. And you could be sure the Jews knew this, and they knew the following text as being spoken of the true Messiah, such that when God says what God says here in Matthew 3, God is saying, Jesus is the Messiah. I'll show you what I mean. Let's take this in two parts. Part one, God says, "This is my beloved Son." Listen to Psalm 2, verse 7. This is Psalm chapter 2 and part of verse 7. "He said to me, 'You are my son.'" Prophetically speaking, when the Messiah comes, it will be said by God of him, "You are my son." Doesn't that sound exactly like what the voice of God the Father from heaven says in Matthew 3:17? Part two, God says, "In whom I am well pleased." Listen to Isaiah 42, verse 1. This is Isaiah chapter 42, verse 1. "Behold my servant, whom I uphold, my chosen one, in whom my soul delights." This too sounds remarkably similar. And when we read Psalm 2 and Isaiah 42 and the chapters that follow Isaiah 42, chapters like Isaiah 49, 50, and 52 to 53, we read of the suffering servant who alone will atone for the sins of Israel. And who is the suffering servant? He is Jesus Christ. He is God's beloved Son, with whom God is always very well pleased. So please do not miss this. I hope you really get this. Here at the baptism of Jesus, as the heavens open, and now God the Father speaks, God is clearly saying, Jesus Christ is the true, the one, the only Messiah of my people. And Matthew emphasizes this because Matthew originally wrote to the Jews to convince them that Jesus is the Messiah. So no wonder the gospel writer Matthew includes this in his third chapter, which we are now studying together. God has declared that Jesus is his son, the Messiah, and his mission is to save people from sin. And as we will talk about tomorrow, this is exactly what Jesus does. He fulfills the mission that God the Father gave him. Jesus identifies himself with us. Jesus saves us from our sin if we will believe in him by faith alone. Really, this is what happens. God, through Jesus, identifies himself with us so that we will identify ourselves with him. Let me say that again. God, through Jesus, identifies himself with us so that we will identify ourselves with him. Much more will be said about this, and we'll continue it tomorrow when you join me right here for God is.